Binks, you know I always say, remember to think that you are what you eat. And that goes for toddlers and for dogs too. But that's why we're jumping on Zoom now to speak to Annabelle Carmel, who is famous for her cookbooks for toddlers. And she's a massive dog lover too. I'm Anna Webb. Welcome to A Dog's Life. Annabelle Carmel, gosh, how excited am I that you're on A Dog's Life?
Well, I'm very happy to be here. I'm obsessed with dogs, so this is my absolute milieu and my comfort zone.
Oh, wow, that's so great to hear. No, I know. I mean, Annabelle, you joined Jo and I many years ago on the first rendition of Barking at the Moon, the radio show, you know, that's dedicated to dogs on BBC London and now airing nationally. To tell us your story of your Samoyeds that were stolen. You know, I remember that so vividly because that was so long before all of the pandemic dog theft crisis that obviously is quite recent and still going on. But you must be really chuffed with the new legislation that government's putting through that's called pet abduction.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because it's not a piece of property, is it? It's part of your family. It's like your child. And when I found out that my dog walker actually called me up, I was away, and he said that his whole van had been taken with, I think there were 15 dogs in it. And then a lady rang up about 2 hours later, and obviously there was like a little like collar with my other dog's name in it. And she said, oh, we found like one of your dogs. And I forgot to say that I'd had two dogs in that van. Only one was returned because there were like 13 dogs tied up to a lamppost, but two were kept. And one was my Samoyed. They didn't like my golden retriever. He was a reject. But they liked the Samoyed. And they actually had another friend of mine's dog, which is a pug. And I didn't really know what to do. Like, do you go to the police? What do you do? I kind of expected a call to say like, oh, I've got your dog. But that never happened. So I'm thinking, what can I do? So we kind of got together, me and the other dog owner, and we made these posters with pictures of our dogs and a reward. And we went all over like the area where the dog was taken from. I mean, the stupid dog walker left his keys in the ignition.
I mean, Annabelle, weren't you cross with the dog walker for doing that?
Well, I kind of wasn't really focusing on that. I was just focusing on trying to get my dog back, who I love very dearly. And also it was the height of the summer, really hot. And you know what summers are like? They're really, really furry and thick fur. And I just didn't know, you know, how you would survive and how they were treating him. And nothing happened. Like, I went door to door. I didn't work at all. I just focused on trying to get my dog back. And it was funny because the other people, they hired a dog clairvoyant. Well, I thought that was a bit strange. I didn't go that route. But I would like constantly go out to the park and say, have you seen my dog? Have you seen this dog? Anyway, no one's seen it. And then someone called me and they said they found the pug. This is 10 days after the dogs were stolen. So I then rang, I said to the other owners that they should ring this woman, and they did, and it was their dog. And then I thought, I'm going to go and see this woman. She sounded a bit odd on the phone. I went to see her. She's on some kind of council estate, and she gave me this story about how she found the dog. And then I just said to her, look, I'm not looking for retribution. I would just love my dog back. You can help in any way whatsoever. 2 days later, she found my dog. Now, I found that quite coincidental and strange. She said that somebody dumped it outside her door. Anyway, I then did ring the police and I said, look, it sounds really fishy. And then they said they can't do anything, but they would analyse her phone records, which they did. And they came back to me, and I'd forgotten all about it. But they came back to me 3 months later and they told me the whole story, that she was in cahoots with an armed robber who took the van thinking it would be a good getaway. Then found the 15 dogs in the back, got rid of 13 of them and kept one each. Anyway, it was pretty awful. But she said, look, don't prosecute me. And I said, like, no, we're not going to prosecute you because he'll kill me, because he was an armed robber.
Gosh, oh, yes. I mean, Annabelle, you don't really want to mess with people like that. But
so we paid the reward. And you know what? You have to think about this. Like, if you don't have a reward, you're not going to get your dog back. Why would they give it back? They would have kept that dog, but they wanted the money more than they wanted the dog.
I know.
That's
no, it's interesting.
Same, to be honest. Never wanted to go out with anybody but people that he knew. And he definitely changed character because for like 12 days, I had no idea. Still have no idea where he went to. I mean, he died at the age of 13 and a half. So this is a while ago now.
How old was he when it all happened?
He was three.
Okay,
so
Yeah, gosh, I mean, it is awful. And I think, you know, I'm so pleased government's looking at this again, because, you know, the whole dog theft thing was shelved, you know, with the Animal Welfare Kept Bill last year. I'm so glad it's back, because, you know, it causes absolute family trauma. Not knowing where your dog is, I couldn't imagine it. I mean, I'm blessed, I suppose. I haven't experienced this. I did experience my first bull terrier, Molly, getting lost in a wheat field, Annabelle, which was
That's scary. Oh
really scary. I mean, she was alone for 12 hours, the longest she'd
my
ever been
God,
at.
that's a long time.
Yes, and that's it. And we found her. It was another dog, actually, a local Springer Spaniel, a working type, that sniffed her out. The whole village had come out looking.
Oh.
I know, I was having 5-minute bulletins on Radio Oxford in case, because she was there 1 minute and gone the next.
You know,
And,
but the lucky ones, because it was interesting. Like I was actually in France, and so I got the first flight back to London. But then I just wanted to get publicity about my dog, because Samoyeds are there aren't that many Samoyeds. So I thought, like, if I could get people to know about what happened, maybe somebody would spot it. So I rang. My friend was David Lee Travis at the time, and I said to him, like, what happened? He did a whole program about dog napping. And these women, they literally had nervous breakdowns when they didn't get their dog back, and some people like never got their dog back. So we were really the lucky ones,
yeah.
because so many people never get their dog back. And
I
that's
know.
terrible.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because you always wonder, where is that dog? And what's happening? Are they being mistreated? What happened to my dog? It's that not knowing must be awful.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that, you know, the connection that you make with your dogs. I mean, I love it that you've got three dogs there. So tell us who you have with you right now.
So in my room right now, I have my nearly 14-year-old American Cocker Spaniel, Bono. So he's doing well for 14. He's pretty sprightly. And then I've got another Samoyed. But this Samoyed, unfortunately, has lost most of his hair. He's got some problems with sebaceous glands, and it suddenly just all fell out, and I couldn't work out what was wrong with him. So he doesn't look like a Samoyed. So when I say to people in the park and they ask me, like, what he is, and I say he's a Samoyed, they look at me like she doesn't know what kind of dog she's got. That is not a Samoyed.
Oh,
Anyway,
no.
Samoyed without much hair. You know, some of these dogs that get left in a dog pound and no one ever brings him home. Anyway, we love him dearly, whatever he looks like. He's gorgeous. And then I've got my best friend. My best friend is Skye, and I got her in lockdown. And she is multi-poo, but from the moment she came, she's been the most wonderful dog. She's just so loving and so gorgeous, and I want to breed her because I find her really a special dog. And she really is my best friend. She sleeps on my bed right next to me. I love it. I love going to bed with her, and I take her everywhere with me.
That's so lovely. Obviously, I think there's a lot to be said for small dogs. You know, I've got an English toy terrier, so he's tiny wee, you know, 10 inches high, very
Take them
light,
with you
weighs,
everywhere, which is good.
which is great. Great for jumping off trains, jumping on buses, jumping
Yeah.
into cabs, and all the rest of it. And what with dog friendly now being so great, because
I
you'll
know.
remember when, you know, you'll remember circa 2000 or wherever, there was nowhere was dog friendly. The idea of taking your dog
Really?
into a restaurant, or
Yeah.
heavens forbid, to the office or to a meeting, it
Yeah.
was impossible. But
No, I know.
now,
We should do. We should campaign for Eurostar, because Eurostar is the only train where you cannot actually put the dog on the train. You have to put the dog in the car, and you don't always want to take a car. Well, you never want to take your car. And I would love to take my dog to Paris, because they're also very friendly to dogs, but you can't get in there.
well, no, I mean, I know I was lucky. I lived in Paris for 2 years, and ages ago in the 90s, and it was so dog friendly then, and it was so great. You know, you'd go and sit next to, you know, a lady and her poodle in the cafe, and I would just love it and get a real
Love it.
dog fix. But it was known as the poop pavement capital of the world. That was the downside on that. But I love it that it's changed so much. But the Eurostar, I don't understand it either. I cannot
Right.
get my head
You have
around
like
it.
maybe two carriages where you can have dogs, okay? Because that's like they say, because people have allergies to dogs. Well, okay, fine. But then the rest of the carriages, no, all right, that'd be fine. Don't know why they're so, because you can take dogs on any other train in the UK, any other train.
I know, and you can in France. However, in France, apparently the dogs do need to wear a muzzle. That is the law, even if it's a
Oh.
multi-poo, in France. So the part of the journey, obviously in France, dogs would, according to
And when they
French
get out,
law,
they have to wear a muzzle.
they have to wear a muzzle in the carriage. I only know this because my dear
In the
friend
carriage
Ivana.
and when they get out.
Not when they get out, but
Oh, I see. Oh, that's all right.
when
Okay.
they're just in case anything
Well, I
happens.
suppose you'd have to like put them in a muzzle at home a few times so it's not so like
Yeah, and train them to
spoiler.
do that. I know, although I have to say, having driven to Paris a couple of times in my Mini, it's not that bad. And parking's always a bit like it is in London, but it's a really easy drive, actually, because the French roads are really good and they're fast and they're straight and they're well maintained.
I only go
So,
for long enough. I often just go for like the day. I'm not going to drive there and drive back. So that's the thing, really.
no, it is far, actually. It is further than you think from Calais. But I agree completely. I wish the Eurostar, but people have tried, Annabelle,
I
tried
know, I
and
know. There have been campaigns about it. I do understand that.
it's ridiculous because they'd get so much more business. But oh, I tell you what. Oh, actually, interesting to segue. We did a podcast with a wonderful woman called Brenda. Can't remember her surname, gosh, and she runs the Pet Express. So what she does, it's like a bus service, and her bus is all catered out for dogs. It's all been, you know, it's amazing, proper nice crates and air conditioning and all the rest of it. And so she will take you through the tunnel if you don't want to take your car, and basically organize for you to get from Calais on the train into Paris. So it's almost like getting the Eurostar,
That's really
but
good. Yeah.
isn't it lovely? And she's chock-a-blocker all the time because so many people want to take their dogs, and also chock-a-blocker from people who've perhaps come from America, flown into Paris because Air France will let you take small dogs, you know, in the aircraft. So people tend to fly to Paris and then come into London or, you know, the UK from there, because British Airways and other airlines that come into Heathrow
Well,
and
I'll tell you a story about taking dogs on an airline. So I took my dog on Swissair. This is the dog that was Dognap after he got Dognap, my Samoyed. Because I wanted to take him skiing because, you know, Samoyeds love the snow and the boots. So it was brilliant taking him out. I got this special like hutch thing and he would seem to be really happy when he came out. He came out on the conveyor belt with all the luggage. It was so funny.
Oh,
Funny to talk
no.
about. Anyways, the tail was wagging. He was fine. He had the best time skiing. He loved it. It was almost you couldn't see him because he was white and the snow was white. Loved it. Except he didn't like our ski boots. He was terrified of them. Anyway, then it came time to take him home. And I'd done all of the like the vaccinations and the passport and everything was done. And I go back to the airport and they say they won't fly my dog back. And they said to me, if we did fly, even if we did fly your dog back, he'd be shot when he got to the UK. And I said, what are you talking about? Like, I've got my dog out there. Why can't I take my dog back? Anyway, I went to every single airline. They would not fly my dog back. So I had to get my luggage off the plane. And then I had to find a way to get my dog back to London from Geneva. And the only way was to have a driver because you can't even hire a car and drive it all the way back to London from Geneva. It cost me like 2,500 euros to get this dog back.
How extraordinary. So why would they let him land but not leave?
Understand it. I don't understand it.
How extraordinary. Oh, that's so weird. I mean, the thing is, with all the paperwork, I mean, I remember one time I was actually with Joe Good, and we were at Calais. We'd driven to Paris and we were at Calais at the passport, and there was a family and they were being refused entry onto the Eurotunnel with their Labrador because the vet hadn't countersigned his Wormr strip that actually proved he'd had the vital worming tablet within 48 hours of getting onto the Euro shuttle. And they were freaking out. And Joe and I, we were just keeping a low profile and praying that the vet had countersigned our worming thing that we'd obviously had to do as well. Yeah, the nitty-gritty of the paperwork can really, you know, let people down.
Incredible detail, and it wasn't that the paperwork was all right. I don't know what it was. It was something I'd have no idea. Anyway, I did get the dog back, but it was an expensive trip.
Gosh, what a spoilt dog. You know, I would have lovely, I
Well,
mean,
that's not him.
I
Yeah,
love
I was getting him
memories.
back from being dog napped, and people do anything for this dog. He was a lovely dog. He eventually died at 13 and a half. He
Which
was
is a great age, actually, for a Samoyed. Not bad. I mean, really good. But
yeah.
that's not a surprise to me, Annabelle, because you are a nutrition guru, and I think you've got hundreds of amazing books published to help mums and toddlers to really make cooking easy, creative, fun, and help stop all this fussy eating. I only want to eat sausages and ice cream. No, you won't. You're going to have lovely leafy greens. Explain a bit more.
So I lost my first child, unfortunately. She died from someone kissing her with a cold sore and it then developed into encephalitis. She died at the age of 3 months. My second child was the world's worst eater. And I wrote a book as a legacy to Natasha, my first child, which got published in 1991 after being turned down by about 15 publishers and sold 5 million copies, which really surprised me anyway. And then I have a career now in, we make food for supermarkets. I have an app with 1,000 recipes, and I've written 50 books. I've also written a dog cookbook. So I learned a lot about what dogs can and can't eat. And my dogs are, I mean, they're quite spoiled in that way because, they're drooling over everything that I'm cooking in the kitchen because they're always with me. And so they do get these tidbits of like a Sunday roast. And my little one, my Malty poo, she loves mozzarella and sardines. She's got strange taste.
No,
And it's funny
lovely.
because if, what isn't strange is that I think my American Cocker Spaniel would sell me out for a piece of roast chicken because he's literally motivated by food. And my Samoy would bite my hand off. But my Malty poo in the morning, she doesn't really want to eat anything. I offer her things and it's not, no. And then I say to her, like, you won't be pretty if you don't eat this. And suddenly she seems to understand me. Sometimes she asks to eat something. It's so weird.
That's so funny.
I understand Bow Wow speak. I don't know. You do start to understand what your dog is shouting about. She probably understands a little bit about what I'm talking about. Anyway, it kind of works wonders. And then she does eventually eat, but it's like, it's a process. It's like, I'm not eating this. And then I've got to explain why she's eating it. And then she eventually eats it. So it takes a while to get her to eat in the morning. But at midnight, she'll eat anything. She's one of those, like, those children who wants to delay going to bed.
So funny, but at least you've got her eating. And I can't say, sardines are so rich and nutritious,
Yeah,
obviously,
they're
to
really good.
humans.
They are really
Yeah.
good. Children and
Now, you obviously believe, Annabelle, that you are what you eat.
yeah.
And it's interesting, this awareness now is at last, filtering down to people, I think, I hope, because the human world and the dog world is quite porky. And of course, we know being porky can cause arthritis, diabetes, heart disease, and other things. So it's really important for longevity for both humans and their dogs. But there's a lot more awareness now on wellness in dogs. And I understand that you're also chatting to a firm called Alpha Wolf.
Yes, I met them at Good Wolf. And
Yes.
I went to their stand because I had this hairless Samoyed. And I thought, well, they do this like nutrient testing, what your dog can and can't eat. So we got quite friendly and they were staying in the same hotel. And I was fascinated by their supplements. So I have been giving my dog now some of their like essential fatty acid supplements. And I think it's really good what they do. I think it's really important. And his hair is starting to grow back a bit, actually.
Yeah, did you actually do the test? Because it's funny, I've just done the
Did.
test on, yeah. So you've got the hair from the back of the ear, which I hope would be fairly easy on your Samoyed. She can't be that bald.
No, she, it's a he actually. His name
Oh.
is Pushkin. So whenever I say Pushkin, they think I'm some kind of oligarch's wife and they give me such funny looks, people. He's super like happy in himself, lots of energy, but he's got this sebaceous gland problem. But we're giving him some now medication. And since we've given him this medication, you can see the hair starting to grow back. Slowly though, but it is starting to grow back. And I give them this Alpha Wolf supplement as well. And I think that's helping too.
Oh,
So the two things
fantastic.
together. But it's interesting because I did understand a lot and learned a lot when I was writing my cookbook. Like you can't give raisins and grapes and onions. And I didn't really know that at the time. I knew you couldn't give chocolate. So I knew that. And it's quite funny. We wanted to take pictures of the dogs and we wanted them to look happy and enjoying their food. We used to put peanut butter on the dog's nose so it would put its tongue out and lick its nose and look so cute as a photo. We'd
Yeah.
hang a piece of meat in front of the camera so it'd be staring at the camera. And it was really funny. But you know what's really sad is like I've had two golden retrievers and my partner wants to get another golden retriever, but they both died quite young and they both got cancer. And I did everything possible. I gave them every single treatment, chemo and everything. And the vet said they probably lived 9 months and they both lived 9 months.
Only
And
nine
then they died.
months.
No,
Really?
they weren't 9 months old. They were like 8 years old, but they
Okay,
only
no.
lived 9 months after the diagnosis.
That's so sad. I mean, it makes me
It was
think of a st
terrible.
terrible,
It
but
was
it makes me
terrible.
terrible, but it makes me think of a study that was done on hundreds of golden retrievers in 2013, which is now being talked about actually in the vet profession, which is this, that they studied a load of neutered and spayed golden retrievers. I don't know why it was golden retrievers. Maybe because of what you've said, that perhaps,
Very common.
they die young, and they compared the neutered ones, spayed and neutered, to ones that were entire. And guess what? The ones that were spayed and neutered all did die young, but those that were entire lived a lot longer, triggering a lot of research into the LH hormone, which is basically what accumulates in the dog's body when they've been spayed and neutered, because there's no sort of release for this hormone, but the brain still produces it despite, say, their testicles being removed, for example. Yes. So it's quite interesting. And in Norway, Annabelle, guess what? It's illegal to spay and neuter. It's very interesting.
I'm not sure about neutering anymore, because that's what both of my golden retrievers, they were both neutered. And it's what happened to my Samoy not long after he was neutered. And, you know, no one tells you this. And my other Samoy was neutered too, but it didn't happen to him. But I guess, you know, every dog is different. But I think it's a good thing. But the thing is, as long as your dog isn't, like, aggressive, I don't see the need to do it, to be honest. But the other, you know why I did it? Because I have a female dog who's entire. I want to breed her. And can you imagine if, like, the Samoy tried to breed with a Maltipoo?
No, I know that.
Explode. So I had to do something.
No, I know. I mean, it's what they're thinking of doing now is, like, I can never say the word, a vasectomy on a dog, so that,
Yeah, that might be better. I would definitely look into that next time.
It's just interesting how science, you know, moves on, and it's good to stay abreast of things, you know.
Oh, again, I would look into it for sure. Mm. I'm going to breed my Maltipoo. And it was
yes.
Like, when you say to people, like, how long do you think dogs are pregnant? No one actually knows, but they're only pregnant for about 62 days.
It's 8 weeks. Yes, I know. Well, they have to do it efficiently. You know, imagine if they were in the wild, to have a 9-month pregnancy would be, you know, quite a bit of a restriction in them hunting and, you know, carrying on. Nature is amazing. Absolutely. So tell me more. So when might you be doing this?
Well, this is the thing. So she's not terribly friendly towards boy doggies. She kind of growls at them when they sniff her bum, which is not a good sign. But maybe when she's on heat, she may feel more in the mood. We're thinking she's got a lot of suitors. But I've got to breed her with another dog who's small, obviously. And she hasn't gone on heat for a long time. But then a friend of mine bred her dog. But actually, the dog was left on holiday with a dog walker, kind of didn't want to breed the dog. The dog got pregnant. Anyway, ended up giving birth to 6 puppies. But the dog gave birth to puppies under cesarean because it had problems like giving birth naturally. And the dog didn't realize that these puppies were their puppies, because dogs don't see their puppies come out. They don't always identify with them. It's interesting that.
Yeah, no, the father, it depends, because very often the father's, you know, in a different home.
The father should be there as well, you mean, when the puppies come out, so the father knows that it's their puppy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, why not? I mean, I believe, you know, all dogs, there will be the pheromones there, but obviously mostly when people breed, you know, if you're a dog breeder or whatever, you know, a proper one, a kennel club registered, assured breeder. Well, now they're even doing a lot of artificial insemination. I know that's gross.
But I was thinking that might be the only thing I can do, because I'm not sure she's going to let any boy doggy go anywhere near her.
So how old is she, Annabelle? I'm only saying three. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
but I wouldn't do it before 3. I think it's a nice age for her.
Yeah, 3 is the recommended age, apparently. Well, right beside me at the moment, I have my miniature bull terrier, Prudence, who is being quite moody at the moment. Uh-huh. Guess why? She is on heat because...
Oh!
Yeah. No, and I'm never going to breed from her. Well, she's 8.5 now. You know, she's way too old. She's like a granny in dog times. But honestly, she's so funny. Obviously, we have to walk her on a lead and do road walks. But every dog we pass, it's like, hello, might you be my husband? And when she was younger, Annabelle, she would just stand by the front door barking, saying, I need to go out clubbing now.
Yes, I have to carry her in the park sometimes, so all these dogs are like following her. They smell it from miles away. And I'm having to lift her up because, like, they're all like congregating on her, because a lot of other dogs are spayed, but she's not. So she's got this, like, obviously this scent that really attracts dogs.
Even when she's not.
But yeah, maybe I'll come back when I've done the breeding process and tell you all about it.
I'd love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, gosh, because the puppies will be absolutely adorable. And it's such a full-on process.
Yeah, but I tell you a story of what happened. My daughter was engaged to a guy and they had a Maltipoo between them. And then they would share it. They broke up and they would share it. They'd have it 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. And, you know, I look after the dog as well. And my daughter looked after the dog. The dog was really happy. But then he decided that he wasn't going to let her see the dog anymore. And one day said, you can't see the dog anymore.
Oh, no.
Devastated. So I have promised that I would breed Skye and give her a baby and puppy. And but also, that means, like, she can still see her, one of her children, like, all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a lovely thing to do. But, I mean, how awful for your daughter. Because that's... something else that's really discussed at the moment, and lawyers have, you know, experts that deal with this, which is, you know, prenuptials around a dog, so that if you get a dog together and you split up or you get divorced, who gets the dog? And it's good, I suppose, that, you know, this is in place, so there's no really awful arguments and what have you. But yeah, it's something else just to consider, isn't it?
She'll
When you
cry about it. It's terrible. She loves that dog so much, and we love the dog, but we don't see that. We're not, she's not even allowed to see the dog at all.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry to hear that. But I think so. When is Sky due in season?
I don't know. It's unpredictable. She's only like on heat like twice a year. It lasts for a while when she is on heat, but she hasn't been on heat for months and months and months. And even when she's on heat, she hardly bleeds at all. She's got very good housekeeping, my dog. She licks herself a lot. And it's like there's no blood. It's incredible. Because people think, oh, I've got to spay them because it's really messy. It hasn't been messy at all.
No, it does vary, obviously, between dog to dog
Yeah.
and all the rest of it. Like, I suppose a bit like with people, you know, but yes. And small dogs, everything is smaller, from the
Yeah,
poop
well, this is good. Yeah,
to,
the poo's smaller, which is like excellent.
yeah, I know. I think small dogs are the way forward.
And they live longer, small dogs. Now, I've often wondered, why do small dogs live longer than big dogs? Does anyone know?
No, they haven't actually figured it out, you know, Annabelle, but a lot of it's got to do with the size of the heart isn't proportional. Because you think a horse can live till they're about 50 and they're huge. But, you know, an Irish wolfhound, you'll be lucky if they make 8 or 9 years old. And they are thinking it is to do with the size of the heart, but also the way that we've modified the dogs and made them so big in quite a short period of time that their physiology, their internal physiology, hasn't been able to sort of adapt to that size change. So the Irish wolfhound of today is probably double as big as it would have been back in mid-1850s or whatever. So it's an interesting aspect of our selection for certain breed
Quite interesting with
characteristics.
Maltipoos though, because you never know what you're going to get, because her dad was a brown poodle, but she looks exactly like a white Maltese. You would never know.
Gosh.
Legitimately Maltese. So well, if I breed, well, when I breed her, I wonder what the, you know, the puppies will be like. Obviously it depends who I breed the dog with, but it can come out brown or white and brown or something. You don't know, because they're basically mongrels, Maltipoos. They're not an established breed. Kennel Club doesn't recognize it.
No, I know. And I think all of these designer crossbreeds, as I like to call them, this mad trend for them, Annabelle, happened in about 2007.
It's quite good because the inbreeding is not good. So it's quite good we're doing this, actually.
Yeah. But then I suppose if you don't have pedigrees or lineage, how do you really know that a Maltipoo that you might know a friend's got or whatever, how would you actually know for sure that they're not related? That's the thing. I mean, the thing about the pedigree dogs is you do know, and you can, that's why a lot of people are using artificial insemination now to get sperm from, I don't know, you know, the other side of the world, so as to make the breeding
That's
coefficiency.
all good, but my two golden retrievers came from good breeders and they both died quite young.
Yeah, but that was, they were both neutered. And it was
And
in
they're both
golden,
neutered.
and this study on golden
Yeah.
retrievers, do look it up, put study 2013 golden retrievers USA, and it's quite horrible reading, but it's interesting. Again, certain breeds are more prone to cancers and certain diseases. So I'm fascinated by all this, because poodles, you see, they are prone to an eye condition called PRA, as I'm sure you know. So it always worries me with all of these doodles, like,
Yes.
you know, has the doodle parent been tested for PRA, because
Right.
it's
Well, my
congenital.
dog came from a policewoman. She wasn't a special breeder, because I mean, she's a Maltipoo anyway. It was a brown poodle and a white Maltese. And I was desperate to get a dog, but everybody I rang up, all the dogs were taken. It was, you know, it was COVID and everyone wanted a dog. And I rang this woman and I said to her, I really want a Maltipoo. And she said, no, sorry, but someone's collecting. There's only two left. So I gave up and I said to her, like, if anything happens, call me. And she called me like 3 days later. And I just literally jumped in my car with my daughter and I got there. And she said, by the time I got there, she'd had 100 calls about this dog. I was so happy I
Really?
got this dog. It was so hard to get a dog in lockdown. And also, my partner never wanted to have a small dog. I don't know why. So we always have big dogs. But then he said to me, it was nearly my birthday, what would you like for your birthday? And I said, I want a small dog. So he relented. And I thought, I've got to go and do it now whilst he's still agreeing to get a small dog. I don't think he wanted to walk a small dog. He felt like embarrassed about it. I don't know why men are like that. Stupid. Anyway, so I got this small dog and I'm so happy with her. So
Oh
happy.
no, sounds lovely, honestly. Well, I really hope to meet her one day. I love her name, Skye. I love a Maltese, and it is fun that you've got some poodle in there, because they're, for me, they're the most trainable breed of dog, the poodle.
Clever, aren't
They're
they?
so
I love
clever.
a She's absolutely the most unbelievable dog and been so well behaved. I've never trained her. Where I've done stupid, enormous amount of training with my Samoy, and he's the most unruly dog ever. I mean, he goes in the park and he jumps up on people with his muddy paws. He knocked from me down when he was running. I thought he caught her. Oh my God, it was terrible.
Oh
I have to
no.
keep my eye on him the whole time. Like, I've got three dogs, and you have to keep your eye all the time on one dog. It's really hard.
Yes, no, I mean, dogs are a commitment. Let's, underline that.
I don't find a commitment. I think that we are very blessed to have dogs. And I think everybody thinks they've got the best dog and they're all right.
Yes, no,
Oh,
you, well, mind you, your American Cocker, is she white? No.
American Cocker is like golden colour and a little bit of a white face. But what's
Oh.
happened to him now is like he has all these really spots on his body, like many of them. He had to have a 4-hour operation to have them removed because eventually they get infected. So it's the second time he's had to do that. And they cut them off. They don't seem to come back very quickly. But you know, it's one of those things that happens to dogs when they're getting old. It's a shame.
Yes, it's a bit like us, isn't it? We see the coat go grayer, and then that's the aging process. But that's what everybody now is really talking about, preventing, with lots of vitamin C and the right food and, the right environmental landscape for your dog, that you can reduce the aging process. So,
Eyes
and
go. That's one of the things. All nearly all of my friends who have older dogs have their eyes, and I have to put drops in his eyes twice a day. If I don't do that, they said they'd have to remove his eyes because it's not even a question of him keeping the eyes. They were given pain, so I'm religiously put these drops in his eyes because I mean, I don't think I could face it if he couldn't see it. I'd be so heartbroken.
Oh no.
But
Is
he's
it
been white,
dry
and
eye?
I, sorry.
Has he got dry eye or is it
Yeah, and he's
more?
got dry eye, and also he's got like other things wrong with his eyes.
Oh,
But
bless
he's only
him.
14, this happened.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing we have to accept. Dogs don't live forever. And, if you get a dog to 15, you're doing really, really well. I think most dogs in this country die at 10, actually, Annabelle, because actually there is a very frightening figure that 50% of all dogs in Britain are diagnosed with a cancer by the age of 10, sometimes less.
Really?
Yeah. No,
I didn't know
apparently,
that.
I think we all need to shape up and do better for man's best friend.
She reminds me because Peggy Guggenheim, I don't know whether you know who she is, but
Well, I know Peggy. Yes, I know. I've never
lived in a
met her, obviously.
palatial home in Venice, and she was buried with her dogs. But if you look closely at the dogs and the names and how long they lived, none of them lived for more than 2 or 3 years. I don't know what she did to her dogs. There's a whole
Gosh.
list of all these dogs she's buried with, and they all lived such short lives, all of them.
That's so weird because, one of my trips to Paris was to go to the only pet cemetery in Europe, or the biggest pet cemetery in Europe, where Rin Tin Tin, the amazing German Shepherd of the 1916, he was born and he saved Warner Brothers from bankruptcy and he earned more money than Greta Garbo in his lifetime. Absolute cinematic sensation. Anyway, he's buried there and I was mad about Rin Tin Tin at one phase. So I wanted to go and put a plant on his grave, which I did. And we were walking around this cemetery, which is an amazing, tranquil, gorgeous space. And the original graves are all from about 1850. So they're very Victorian, very grand. And some of the outpourings of grief on these tombs are just, I mean, I was just bawling my eyes out. But the interesting thing I discovered was the newer the grave, the younger the dog, because some of the dogs were, I mean, Rin Tin Tin, being an Alsatian, well, German Shepherd, he died at 17 in 1950.
We're doing
30.
more things wrong than they were doing.
Yeah, so what I'm basically saying is it looks like from those gravestones anyway, that we're doing a lot more wrong now than we did back then when life was simpler. There wasn't any processed food, then dogs ate, perhaps meat and, scraps and the like, but they were living longer. There were antibiotics didn't become available for humans until after the Second World War and for dogs a lot later than that. So it's just an interesting thought. That's all that I'm sharing with everyone. But yes, when my friend was with me, Ivana, and she couldn't believe it either. So the newer the grave, the younger the dog. And the older the
That's
grave, the older the dog inside.
pretty sad. But a lot
It's
of my
really
friends
sad.
actually have quite old dogs, so I'm not the only one with a nearly 14-year-old dog. But I do love these groups. So I've run some Maltipoos of London group. I call Yap Yap. Yeah, I think well,
I
you know the lady
do.
who does it.
Yes. No, I know.
And
That's.
I absolutely love going to those groups because I love meeting other people with dogs. It's my favourite thing. And when you go to the park and you have a dog, everyone talks to you. Everybody, like, it's an icebreaker and it's so lovely. And you meet so many nice people when you have a dog. It's like fabulous. And it's so cute. And they know when it's the Multitudes of London, like get together, and they just run towards it and they have the best time. And then we have like dressing up ones where they like Valentine's Day and Halloween, and they're my favorite parties. I'd rather go to a dog party than any party.
Oh, same here. And I think it's all great. And it's this celebration of everything being so dog friendly now. And I think we all should optimize it. And you're right, you do. You make lifelong friends through dogs. And I think it's great because you know you've got something in common. I haven't got any friends who don't like dogs. You know, I don't mind. I can have acquaintances. But, you know, for me, dogs are so integral to my life. So I want to meet other dog lovers. It's just a natural thing to do, isn't it, Annabelle, really?
I think it's good to have friends who have dogs, because then you go to the park with them and then you tend to walk longer with your dog because you're chatting to your friend.
Yes, no, of course,
Standing away
absolutely.
and hours have gone by. And you don't realize you've been there for like 2 hours. And the dog's had a great walk as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, oh, well, you know, long may all this continue, Annabelle. And I really wish you all the success with Sky. And I hope to see you at the next Yap Yap,
Oh
the
yeah,
next
for
Yap Yap
sure.
gathering.
Absolutely. I'll be there, maybe with a puppy. Who knows?
Oh, gosh, gosh,
Yeah.
gosh. Well, I hope there'll be a Yap Yap event before then. Because remember, I mean,
Well, I
it's a
don't
good
know.
4 months.
It's raining quickly. It's 62 days, so may not be.
Well,
The moment she
exactly.
goes on heat, I'll be out there looking to see if I'm a nice boy doggy. She's got a few lined up already.
Oh gosh, the suitors. Oh, the
Yeah.
pressure for the suitors. How lovely. I love all that. Oh, Annabelle, well, look, can't
Yes.
wait for your next dog cookbook as well. So when you've done that, let's chat again and hopefully have lots of other super fun things to talk about too,
Been
like
lovely
puppies.
chatting to you.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much, Annabelle.
Take care. Bye.
That's our show, Mr. Binks. What did you think? Yes, you are lucky to have fresh, delicious food every day. What's that? Yes, you are right. It's time for Woof of the Week. Never underestimate the old adage that you are what you eat, whether that's what you eat, your toddlers eat, or your dog eats. Well, I hope you all enjoyed it. If you did, go on, rate and review the show wherever you tune into your podcasts. It really makes a difference. Thanks again, of course, to Annabelle Carmel for joining us today. And yes, you got it. The links are all in the show notes. Thanks, of course, to Mike Hansen, my producer, for all the music and production as ever. And you can find out more about him at Pod People UK. And for me, you can find out more at Anna Webb Dogs, or check out my website for some really groovy training, nutrition and behaviour packages. What's that, Mr. Binks? You're right, we will be back in your feed next Sunday. So go on, why don't you subscribe now? It's free. And that way, you'll never miss another show. Bye for now.